Computers have their uses. They're great for work or play, but it's not a good idea just to stare at them all day.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are back into the world of computing, personal computing, the problems of computing in the Bear family's treehouse. Now, the last time we visited the world of computers, it was a year ago with the Berenstain Bears Lost in Cyberspace, in which we explored the perils of 1990s internet surfing. But that mostly had to do with, I believe, the almost Silk Road-esque world of larceny and crime that the Cubs accidentally stumbled onto. It wasn't that grounded in, I mean, I guess as far as people in the 90s were concerned, it was probably pretty grounded in reality, considering that the most people knew about the internet back then was whatever they had learned from Sandra Bullock's The Net. But this time, we are back into actual computing. We are into the Berenstain Bears computer trouble. And what computer trouble? All computer troubles. This is a 2010 book in which any problem you could probably have with a computer in your house, the Bears are going to have in a very short period of time. And I can't talk about it by myself. There's just too much going on in this book for me to talk at you alone. And so I have brought onto the show this week a guest who made the mistake of mentioning the Berenstain Bears online, and sometimes that's all you have to do to get roped into appearing on this show, is have strong opinions about the Berenstain Bears. And I guarantee you they have strong opinions about the Berenstain Bears. This week's guest has a daily, often snarky newsletter about state politics for State's Newsroom, is a longtime bear expert, and a mom to three-year-old twins. And that is three-year-old twins, not three-year-old twins, which is how I read it originally. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Deep in Bear Country, Kate Quarum. Hello, Kate.
Hello. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm very excited to have you here. So you have big opinion. You just went right off on the Berenstain Bears the other day.
My kids are very into the Bears, and this was like a strategic move on my part because we read a lot of books, and I have started introducing them to a lot of the books that I read when I was a kid. So they're also very into like Strawberry Shortcake and Rainbow Bright. And so we started with the bear books that I had read, and apparently I had quite the collection when I was a child because there are at least like 15 or 20 books that I can remember owning. And that's when I realized that there's this whole, what I refer to as the expanded bear universe, which I do not recognize as canon, which means like I stopped reading the Berenstain Bears probably when I was like 10. So anything published after about 1995 is not on my radar. And those, I mean, in my opinion, they're the quality just kind of declines over time. But in addition to like the main, like the books that I remember, which are like the square paperback ones, there's like early readers and they're just, it's just sloppy storytelling. And the one that I got very angry about on Twitter was one in which Mama runs for mayor.
Oh yeah.
I've been a local government reporter for like 10 plus years. And just, it is a very inaccurate portrayal of local government and civic engagement. And it was very upsetting, but I didn't know until one of the main reasons I didn't like it is because Mama Bear is always the very organized, like voice of reason. I don't really know why she's married to Papa because he's a disaster. But the whole mayor book is about her doing this like very ill thought out campaign for mayor and Papa being the voice of reason. And that was among the most unrealistic things. But, and I think it was you or someone who knows you who told me it's like a rewrite of a story where Papa runs for president, which is just horrifying. And I'm glad I never read that one.
President of the neighborhood council.
Ah, okay. Good to know.
But yeah, it was a complete just gender switch of that, just I guess because they just needed another book and they thought it probably made more sense for Mama to hold high office than for Papa to hold high office.
Except not the way they do it.
So you are going through it and you're going through exactly what I was going through at the moment where I was like, I need to start a podcast about this. And that was 7 years ago. And so the quality of the Bears has gone up and down over the years. It's funny that you mention, you know, like the 1985 to like 1995, that chunk of time when they were kind of firing on all cylinders. And then the late 90s, they expanded into the chapter books. So their attentions kind of started getting pulled in different directions. They had a lot of problems with their publisher. Stan had a lot of health issues. Mike started taking over a lot more just because they were so overwhelmed with business. There's a lot going on. But what's funny is the more you dig into the history of the Berenstain Bears, the more that stuff makes sense why it's happening and you never forget it. But this week's book, The Berenstain Bears Computer Trouble. Now, this is not a book you were familiar with.
No, this was way past my, and this is one. So like the newer books that we get, and we do own a couple of those, like they tend to advertise the newer ones on the back, and there's like this horrible book where the whole plot is like they go out to a restaurant, like that's all that happens in the book.
Yes,
and that's like a newer one.
I believe that is the Berenstain Bears go out to eat, which all that happens is they go out to eat.
It's so long.
It is.
But those books tend to advertise the newer ones. And so whenever I see one on there, like I sort of actively avoid. So this is one that I've actually actively avoided with my own children, both because like they're three. So we don't really need to talk about internet safety yet. And because I figured it was just hopelessly out of date already.
It is. And in some ways, it also falls into the category of I've put Berenstain Bears books into several different categories. And one of them is, there are the books that were written for kids to read. Mm-hmm. And then there's the books that seem to be written more for parents to read.
Yeah, the ones for parents are clearly the ones with like the checklist of rules in the back.
Yeah.
Like, and you're this like, one.
Well, this isn't entertaining for a child, but it's supposed to give advice for parents. And clearly this was like the publishers were like, we need a book about computer safety and internet safety, kind of. It's really mostly about like, don't ignore your family.
Yeah.
But they were like, can you please address this? I understand that you are all in your 70s. So do your research, get back to us. And then we ended up with the Berenstain Bears Computer Trouble. Not as buck wild as I was expecting it to be.
I would also venture that just by calling it Computer Trouble, it could just be talking about like a hardware issue.
That is computer trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Computer trouble is, my internet went out for 2 minutes in the middle of a meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's computer trouble. Computer trouble is what family members call up the stairs at me about.
Which is actually, I'm remembering this now, when I saw this one on the back of the terrible restaurant book, I thought it was about them not knowing how to use the computer. That's what I thought it was about just from the title.
It's actually about them knowing how to use the computer way too, far too well in far too short a time. And seemingly getting so enamored of computers that they just buy their baby one.
I have a lot of thoughts.
Well, let's get started. Let's walk through this book. Let's take a walk down that sunny dirt road into the world of 2010's computery and find out what's going on with those bears. So how does this book begin?
Well, first I want to start. There's always the little drawing by the poem.
Oh, yeah.
And this one, it's like the keyboard and there's like these two computer, I'm going to say mouses because computer mice sounds weird. It looks like a uterus and ovaries. You make that connect. Like as soon as I saw it, I was like, why are they pink? Why are they positioned like fallopian tubes? Like that's just the first thing I thought of. It's very weird.
I mean, you know, maybe it's symbolic. Maybe it's a metaphor, a visual metaphor. Maybe there was more going on with the Berenstains that we don't know about right now. I was impressed by their keyboard, which I had that keyboard.
It's very accurate.
Yeah. So, which means that whoever did this illustration was just like glanced to their right and copied whatever they saw on their desk.
It's got so many lights.
Because it's certainly not the keyboard we see on the very next page, the big two-page title spread.
Did you notice the very alarmed bird outside, in like sitting on a tree outside the window?
Yes. Yeah, it's a classic Berenstain motif, which is the woodland creature who knows something bad is going on in that treehouse, and they're powerless to stop it.
Which, I mean, we can't see. So it's like everyone's gathered around the computer. Brother's pointing. So I don't know what's on the screen. I mean, maybe it's something alarming. Mm-hmm. They all kind of look troubled. Maybe that's why the bird is alarmed. I don't know.
Right. Again and again, it represents nothing that ever happens in the story.
It's true.
Right. So what does happen in this story? Whose fault is all this computer trouble?
I mean, as usual, it's Papa. And he carries in, you have to think he probably didn't talk to Mama about this. I get the sense he doesn't really talk to her about anything. So he just decides to bring a computer home because his furniture making business, which has never relied on even like electricity, I don't think. Like he just goes into the woods and like saws things and puts them together. He decides he needs a computer for his wood business.
A computer brand computer.
In part to do his taxes.
Which we know from the past, he is always late on. So maybe this is Papa finally trying to get it together and do his taxes. We had a whole book about the dread of doing taxes.
I'm ignoring that. That's not canon.
But he buys this computer. He comes walking into the house. Computer box straight from wherever you bought computers in 2010. I don't know. I don't know if Babbage's still existed or whatever. Software, etc. Best Buy. Pops open the trunk of the Red Roadster, hauls in this giant box, and within the next page, everyone in the family has their own computer.
Right? So this is, like, I was trying to remember when I first got my own computer. So we had, like, the bulky desktop, and then I think we upgraded to, like, that was, like, the family computer, and then we upgraded to the slightly less bulky, like, tower desktop.
Yeah.
So then I moved the old desktop into my bedroom. But I didn't have internet in my bedroom. So not only does everyone in the family have their own computer, they also all have an internet hookup.
Right. It is 2010. So there's a slim chance they were connected. They had a Wi-Fi. They had Wi-Fi going on. That could be the case. I don't think so, looking at these computers. But
also, there's no explanation. It's just like, oh, they came into my shop to use the computer, and then they each needed their own computer for schoolwork.
Yes. That's what you tell your parents, is I need this for schoolwork.
And Papa probably would fall for that, frankly.
So we're looking at least, you know, these probably aren't top-of-the-line computers, but we're looking at least $1,500 to $2,000 worth of computers in these two pages.
Within like a day.
Right. Kids came in to play, I don't know what it looks like, Zaxxon or Galaga on his computer once, and he's like, I got to get these kids out of here. He's also put his computer right below his, like, tool rack.
His pegboard, yeah.
Right. It's like constantly like sawdust falling into the computer. This thing never works.
Right, yeah.
But almost immediately the Cubs are emailing, websiting, IMing, and social networking.
Which I'm not sure I've ever heard used as a verb.
They are social networking.
Right.
So this comes at a really weird time. We are at this, I don't know what you remember about 2010. All I know is social networking, social media was like coming into the forefront at this point. And things like IMing were falling out, and emailing with the kids was falling out. So we're at this really weird crossroads where I guess, yeah, the kids would just be doing all of it.
I mean, I guess. But the weird thing, and I looked this up because, first of all, I mean, sister's like eight. I don't know. Like, do eight-year-olds have email addresses? Because you need one to sign up for Pawbook.
Pawbook.
Which I'm assuming is analogous to Facebook, which you are supposed to be at least 13 to have an account on. So I don't know what 8-year-old Sister Bear is doing on Pawbook to begin with.
I guarantee you she went up to Papa Bear and said, I need an email address. I need a Pawbook subscription. And he was like, all right, sister, signed her up right then and there.
I just don't know if I believe that he would know how to do any of that. But that's fine. I'll suspend my disbelief.
Well, normally Mama would be keeping him in line. Unfortunately, Mama herself gets so busy buying and selling things on eBay that she can't pay attention to the fame. Oh, I also want to point out that sister is messaging with friends, and they're just messaging hi, cheer, and yo back at each other.
And Mama is looking at a straw hat, and yarn.
Yep.
On
yep.
eBay.
I mean, what else is she going to look at?
I don't know.
Maybe vests? A new bun.
Yeah, vests. She seems pretty happy with that one.
That one vest. The one vest, which I don't know if you're aware of this, but I've brought it up on the show, was added because Stan and Jan got sick and tired of drawing all the polka dots on Mama.
Oh, good to know.
And so they were like, just put a vest on her. We made a mistake. We made a mistake 50 years ago. And even Honey Bear gets in on the action by getting a toy that they tell her is a computer. I think it's just a thing with a stick that moves a butterfly back and forth.
Yeah. But she's very engrossed.
Yes. So that's our setup. That is the setup to this drama, which is Papa Bear bring home the computer and he poisons the family well by making everyone enamored of computers.
And now they're spending most of their time there from early morning until late at night.
Sounds like a pretty good life to me. But it's surprisingly enough, it is Papa who quickly becomes the voice of reason because he gets a headache from staring at his computer all day in his wood shop.
And then he remembers that his business is making things out of wood.
Right.
He loved wood.
I've been on this computer all day and not a single chair has gotten built. You work alone. Your only client is the millionaire on the hill who has you make reproductions of antique furniture for him. That's it. That's the only guy who orders furniture from you.
Doesn't seem like his taxes would be that complicated.
Right.
To necessitate either procrastinating the taxes or buying a computer to do them.
Now, I'm gonna date myself by saying that my father initially bought a computer for the family so that he could keep track of finances and do his taxes as well. And he never did. He never touched that thing. It became my property that I used to play Sierra games on.
But did he then, within the first day, buy you your own and place it in your bedroom?
No, because I claimed it and he never touched it again.
No, he didn't mind that you were in the wood shop with him. That's nice.
We did take a DOS programming class together.
Oh, my God.
Because this was 1980-something. Yes. In any case, Papa has lost track of his family. He doesn't know where they are.
Which frankly doesn't seem like that out of the ordinary for him.
Right. Fortunately, he finds them. He finds Sister weeping in front of the computer. Probably not the first young girl to be weeping in front of a computer. Probably won't be the last.
True.
And she is weeping in front of the computer for the main reason she would be weeping in front of the computer. She's being cyberbullied.
And it's like, it's some harsh language from Billy Griswold.
Yeah. Billy Griswold has called her on Paw Book. So publicly.
On her Paw Book webpage.
Yes. Which is how you say it.
Not her profile. I just want to make that distinction.
I know that when I get upset at something on Facebook, I say, it's my stupid Facebook webpage.
Yep.
Billy Griswold has called her a fuzzy-faced hairball, which is true. Which is true of all bears.
Exactly true, yes.
Yes. All bears are fuzzy-faced. All bears are hairballs. That would be like me saying, you have a nose and are covered in skin.
Which, if you wrote that on someone's Facebook, would probably not embarrass the person you were writing it to.
It might unsettle passersby. It might unsettle people who were just glancing at your wall.
Oh, and then I also wanted to say on the cover, she's crying again about something he said, which this time was just, hi, sister. Fooey. LOL. Billy. She's very upset.
And, of course, all of her peers have taken all these insults and mean statements to mean that they are in love with each other, which is even worse.
And she could just unfriend him or, you know, remove the comment. But, this is better.
It is wild that, like, that's her take. Like, that's their takeaway from this, which is don't be cyberbullied, kids, or people will think you're in love.
Yes.
There's your lesson. And Papa immediately comes to the conclusion, before any other evidence is presented to him, that computers are literally nothing but trouble.
But he doesn't have time to think about it.
No. Because
because brother has the audacity to be listening to music, which wouldn't automatically prompt for me a concern that he's on the computer,
right?
But it does for Papa.
He runs into his room, and I'm gonna put the blame squarely on Papa's shoulders here for buying brother the giant speakers that he's attached to his monitor.
I'm pretty sure I had those speakers.
Yeah, me too. I am pretty sure I still have those speakers.
Brother also appears to have a desk with like the keyboard thing that pulls out. So we didn't factor in like the furniture costs with all of these computers too. Like, I don't think Mama has a desk normally.
Yeah, these kids have computer desks in their rooms.
They do.
Yeah. They're all set up. I think brother is literally at the computer desk I am sitting at right now. Target special. So he's not just listening to music though.
He's also looking at soccer shoes.
Yes. Reminder, Brother Bear plays soccer. So not an unusual thing.
He does online too. It's like he plays it in real life and he plays it on the internet.
So his crime is enjoying music, which is something that human beings and bears have been known to do, sans computer, and looking up an interest of his. That's it.
While doing his homework, which appears to be, it's on the screen, but it's like a handwritten document.
Right. Papa says, "Aren't you supposed to be doing your homework?" And he says, "Don't worry, Papa. I'm working on it in between checking out websites. See?" And he pulls up his science homework. Now, as the parent of an 11-year-old, I will say that if I walked in and my child quickly turned the screen over to their assignment, that is an alarm bell. I'm like, okay, what were you looking at? But again, it was soccer shoes and listening to music. Perhaps brother has a brain that works best when it's occupied with two things at once. Who knows?
I mean, he didn't even make an attempt to hide it, really.
No. Because he was... Yeah, he's looking at soccer shoes.
It's nothing but trouble.
Right. We know that Brother Bear, canonically speaking, Brother Bear is not interested in anything that is against the grain or anything that might get him into trouble. He is the world's best boy. His only problem is that sometimes he takes a little bit long to take action. That is Brother Bear's fatal flaw. So he is not going to be doing anything wrong. The person who is doing something wrong is Mama Bear, who hasn't spoken to her kids in several days.
And also, Papa was supposed to help Sister with the cyberbullying. She's like distressed in the background of all of these pages. And Papa just keeps wandering away from her.
It's like Papa hasn't been in the house in a while. And he walks in and he's like, wait a minute. He's going from room to room with this like look of horror on his face at what has become of his family, who, keep in mind, are just looking at good computers.
Yes.
Doing things that even in 2010 were perfectly normal to be doing out in front of a computer.
It's true.
Yeah. Mama is shopping on eBay and having a time of it.
And she's left. Honey's been alone in her room for God knows how long. Just right. Play moving that butterfly back and forth.
Yeah. She tries to get Mama's attention and she's like, I'm busy bidding on something on eBay. Two things. Facebook, the part that they've replaced, Facebook is not called Handbook. So that they would call it Pawbook is suspect.
It's true.
And eBay is not called e-person or e-man. So Bear replacing that is also, again, one of those weird quirks of their language, I guess.
And so she asks, so the doorbell rings.
Yes.
And she asks him to get it, which is, I mean, frankly, this is probably the most useful Papa's ever been in a Baron Spielberg. So very wearily, he walks downstairs to get the mail.
Oh, it does say wearily, doesn't it?
It does.
And it's taken a lot out of him.
He's been parenting for like 3 minutes now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's exhausting.
Yeah, you almost had to help Sister.
He did. Good thing he found so many things to distract him. I don't know where she is now. Probably still upstairs trying to get his attention. So he signs for this package from the mailman, and it's from eBay. And the freaking mailman, I'm very upset about this.
What does he say? What exactly does he say?
Okay. He says, you know, Papa, you've got to get this eBay thing with Mama under control. This is the fifth package this week. You're going to go broke. Well, see you later. I have many. It's just, first of all, Herb, this is none of your business. Mm-hmm. Second of all, this is very misogynistic. Like, you don't know what mom is doing. Maybe she's selling things too, and she's just taking them directly to the post office so she doesn't have to deal with your judgy self. And I don't like Herb.
If I opened the door to my letter carrier and the first thing they said were, "You've got to get your woman under control," I might have a phone call to make.
And also, like, I like to think that the male person is not secretly judging right. my male habit. Like, don't you have something else to do? Don't you have yeah. other, you know what I mean? Like, go away.
Right. And even if you are judging my male habit, it's like when you go to the grocery store and they comment on what you're buying. Exactly. And it's like, I don't need you to say like, "Oh, having a party tonight?" Or like, "Oh, you got yourself a little snack there?" I'm like, I feel enough shame as it is.
It's true. Like, I don't need to converse.
Don't call me out in front of everyone. Male person, please do not call out any of my purchases, because sometimes I just don't want to leave the house.
Most times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Papa, of course, takes with this
also,
herb.
It's just occurred to me.
Yeah.
When you buy things on eBay or eBear, the package doesn't come from eBay or eBear. It comes from the person you're... So, like, why is there a big eBear sticker on it?
This is a different world.
It
is. We're in a different continuity. Things are... eBear went a little more... Maybe eBear provides stickers to all of its big sellers. Who even knows what Mama is buying?
And with Herb out here policing everything, eBear probably would hear about it if people didn't put the stickers on.
Plus... Even if he gets Mama to stop, she's going to be receiving packages for quite a while after this. Like, it takes a while to ship these things.
It's true. There's a lag time.
So we're going to hear from Herb later on, I guess. Ah, Papa Bear, I thought I told you to get that woman of yours under control. Oh, sorry, Herb. There's a little bit of a time delay on this.
Which you as a male person should probably know, but that's fine.
Nobody else in Bear Town receiving all these packages, Papa Bear. So Papa rolls his eyes and he's like, "Computer trouble." And he makes a pronouncement at the dinner table.
Oh, it's striking.
Yeah.
He says, "I believe that this family is having computer trouble."
Yeah.
And everyone looks at him really confused because they too probably think he's talking about some sort of like malfunction.
Except for Honey Bear, who is a toddler and is just eating her own hand.
Right.
I love.
Because they've forgotten to feed her.
Yes,
she's the only one with no food.
She's no food in front of her. She's very hungry. I want to call out the facial expression on Brother Bear, though. He looks like Papa just said, "I'm leaving this family."
He does. And Sister just looks like she's praying.
Mm-hmm. And because Papa's like, "We're having trouble with email websites." Websites in general. I just want to say those websites, Pawbook, computer games, and eBear. We're spending so much time on computers, we don't even have time to say hello to each other these days.
I mean, apparently Mama's been worrying about this. I don't know when she found the time between mm-hmm. like all of her eBearing and ignoring her children.
Yeah.
But she said, helpfully, "Well, what are we going to do about it?"
Now, I'm going to give her some PowerPoints here, because usually it's Mama coming up with the idea of what we're going to do about things. So maybe she was just waiting for Papa to say something. She's like,
"He
you know
did
what?
Create the problem.
Every single time it's me calling this out at the dinner table, I'm just going to keep pounding away at eBear until he says something." His solution is to hold up a terrifying scare article from Bear Times.
It's a very ominous and non-informative headline that just says internet child safety problems.
That has nothing to do with what's going on with the kids.
No.
Yeah. Because apparently this is an article about, I don't know, children being lured in by predators or something. It says here that people use the internet to get cubs to do things that aren't safe. Like, yeah, that's not what's happening here, Papa Bear.
Right. It never happens. And then they never mention it again.
Right. Because
it's like, oh, yeah, that's bad.
And his solution to this is to limit their internet access to 1 hour a day, which I'm like, you can still be catfished in 1 hour a day, Papa Bear.
It's true. Predators don't punch a clock.
Yeah.
He also not only, he's not just going to limit it, he's just going to turn the internet off.
Right. I guess flip off the router.
Assuming it's wireless. If it's not, I have many other questions.
Yeah, unplug the thing, I guess.
All five of them.
Right. It'll take
longer than an hour to turn it off.
The reason he can't get any work done is because he had to put the server in his workshop. It's like this just humming. It's like 99 degrees in there all day with this like giant internet server. He's like,
it also explains the headache.
Right. My boss's boss for a long time, our company's server was located in the closet in his office, and it was perpetually like 90 some degrees in his office. And
yeah, that's a terrible idea.
They would have to funnel super air conditioning only into his area just so like he wouldn't overheat while working. That's computer trouble.
Yeah, right.
So he's like, hey, he says the truest thing ever said about computers, which is, if you can't get done what you need to do on the internet in 1 hour, it's not worth doing.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, which is why none of us spend more than an hour on the internet.
Ever.
Ever. I wouldn't say that anything I do on the internet is worth doing, but it definitely takes me over an hour to do it.
I'm trying to think of other than work, which is arguably worth it.
Worth it.
Yeah, agree.
Well, we have to agree that one thing that is worth doing on the internet is complaining about the Berenstain Bears, because that is how people meet.
That's what the internet is for.
And end up on the internet shows about the Berenstain Bears. Episode 347, I believe this one will be. So brother's like, wait a minute, if we're not on the internet, what is there to do? And we get one of the greatest two-page spreads in Berenstain Bear history. I got to call this out. This is a delightful spread.
It's so wholesome.
Of everything there is to do in your life that does not involve being on the internet. So what are a few of these things?
My personal favorite is pretend you are space bears.
Yeah.
And the accompanying illustration is brother and sister. It looks like they're skipping, mm-hmm. and they're not wearing full astronaut costumes. They're just wearing the bubble helmets mm-hmm. and wandering around outside.
Yeah. Suffocating, presumably, because yes. There's no way to get air inside those bubble helmets. When I was a kid, I always wanted one of those bubble helmets, though.
I wanted to go to space camp, which is the nerdier equivalent of that wish.
Now, I know it's a little bit before your time, but... are you familiar with the movie Space Camp?
I own the movie Space Camp.
Okay. So you're aware that...
that means Joaquin Phoenix.
You were aware that you will accidentally end up in space because of a...
You'll have a robot.
I was going to say, because of a friendly robot? I can't exactly... Was there a villain in Space Camp?
No.
No? Just hubris?
I don't... There was like a... I literally own it on DVD. Maybe I'll watch it later. There may be like a cool gang at Space Camp.
I know one of the actors from Revenge of the Nerds is in it. The African American man who played Lamar is in Space Camp. And as you said, Joaquin Phoenix, then known as, I believe, Leaf Phoenix.
Leaf, yes, and Kelly Preston.
Oh, Kelly Preston, that's right.
Pre John Travolta.
It has probably been since that movie came out that I've seen it. So
yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, well, but it was the '80s. Nothing was good.
It's true.
It was Emperor Reagan's era. All right. So they can also catch.
And then there's also one run around in circles and get dizzy. Mm-hmm. And that looks like they're doing a square dance.
It does look like they're doing a square dance. Also, the last thing is scream is the last thing you can do outside. Scream.
Sure.
Just scream.
You can also do that. I mean, arguably, that's what Twitter is.
I was going to say you could do that online. You can do that. The things that they talk about that you can do also online, you could conceivably watch clouds online.
You could.
You can play with kittens through some servers.
You can certainly go fishing.
Mm-hmm. Pretend you're a space bear. There's
collect rocks on eBay.
You can. but it's such a great thing for brother and sister to imagine that they start giggling. Because it all sounds like fun. And then...
they're fondly remembering the days when they used to go outside a week ago.
I have to believe this was intentional. I have to believe this was a little sarcastic. This whole two-page spread. So the Berenstains are nothing if not very dry-witted and very bitingly sarcastic at times. And I have to believe they are overdoing it on purpose just for their own amusement, because this page is just packed with everything a child could do in their neighborhood.
True.
And then we get another two-page spread of them going out and doing it.
And taking the neighborhood by storm in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Like after school, they did get to play outside, like they've been held hostage. And it's so much fun that they go around reminding other cubs that the outdoors exist. And then they go to the good old-fashioned playground.
They do go to the
for some good old-fashioned exercise.
So we see Cousin Fred in his room, which is something we rarely see. We don't get Cousin Fred in his house. He's obviously creating some kind of incredible game involving a giant terrorizing the forest or something. Lizzie Bruin, who I guess is currently not fighting with Sister, comes out to say hello. And they go to Bear Country Playground. One of the cubs, though, if you see the cub on the swing who's like spinning herself around.
Yes.
She's wearing glasses. She has pigtails.
Mm-hmm.
That is a cub named, I believe, I always forget her name. I believe it's Trudy. She is a cub who canonically only exists in the religious books.
Oh, the Jesus cubs.
She in the Zonder Kids continuity. She is a new girl in town who Sister makes friends with, who's a bit of a nerd and weirdo. And I have never seen her in a mainline continuity Berenstain Bears book. Also, she's not playing with Sister. So I guess in this version, this branching off of reality where the Bears never discovered religion, Sister Bear didn't feel compelled to make friends with the outcast. That's just the point I want to make.
Maybe she's allowed to be in this particular illustration because it's good old-fashioned fun.
It is good old-fashioned fun.
Good old-fashioned swings.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of tracks with Jesus.
Yeah. A good old-fashioned man.
Indeed.
Who was known to enjoy a jungle gym, a slide, and a merry-go-round.
Oh, yeah.
The little merry-go-round that they're on, down in the corner, all four of them, brother and sister. And did you play on those as a kid?
I have sporadic memories of possibly playing on those once or twice, yes.
Those things were so dangerous and so amazing. We would play
and
this.
Sister's like, I don't think that I... She's sitting weird. She's sitting on her knees and holding, like, you'd be thrown off in 5 seconds.
She's letting them do the work for her, too.
Yes.
We used to do this thing where we would all see how Lizzie Bruin is kind of hanging off.
Yes.
We would do this thing where we'd have one or two kids push it as fast in the circle as we can. And then we'd grab on like Lizzie's doing and we'd hang off as far down to the ground as we could until one of us got brave enough to put our face on the ground and it pulled us off.
I was picturing this like your butt is the part touching the ground.
Nope, it was our face.
Oh my God.
I don't know why we're still alive. In any case. They stick to Papa's plan, though. They get all tuckered out at the playground. They hop right back on the computers in the evening. And wouldn't you know it, an hour is enough.
And Sister even appears to be doing some online shopping, but mm-hmm. still was able to limit it to an hour.
It says books and toys. He sings and dances.
Yeah, I think it's a specific toy. I think the weird guy on the screen. I think it's a specific toy.
I guess. It looks kind of creepy.
It does.
It looks like one of those like old, like you would go to like old timey towns and there'd be old wooden carved like jangly man dolls.
Yeah.
Like on a stick.
Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
With like hinged arms and legs. It looks like that. Like she's all like, I really like this 1890s little stick man who dances when you jangle it on your knee. I don't know what brother's doing. They're not letting us see his screen.
But he looks very happy.
Yeah.
And there's sort of an ominous glow.
Right. It's a glow. It's like the Pulp Fiction briefcase.
Yeah.
Lighting his face up. Are we happy? We happy. So Papa doesn't even need his computer.
Which, of course, we knew.
We knew.
The knowledge would have spared us this entire story.
I couldn't tell what he was doing at first. I thought he was just running his table saw and staring at the blade. I didn't realize he was feeding wood through it.
Yeah. But, he was able to stay in his shop working with the wood he loved.
Yes. More than his family.
Yes.
Not in the house with the bears he loved, but right. Out with the wood he loved. I do love it when they make a big point of reminding us that Papa Bear is a woods bear, like a woodworker, because that's really how we got to know. He built Brother's like bed and
back when Brother was small bear.
Yeah, yeah, in the good old days. So it was like, remember, like this guy does work. Like he is responsible enough to run his own business. It's not all like falling down wells and like getting himself caught in traps.
True.
And Mama back to quilting like she loves to do. It says she got out her old quilting kit. I know,
like it's some hobby that she's just, it's like all she does.
Yeah,
like other than mama-ing.
You ran a business, Mama Bear. You had a storefront.
Yep.
Yeah. And she got so busy with her quilting, she didn't even go online for that hour. And wouldn't you know it, it leads to harmony in the bear home as they sit and read and knit and enjoy a blazing fire that looks like it's leaping out of control.
Right toward Honey Bear.
Yeah. Like, I guess they figured they had to show us the fire in order for us to know the fire was firing.
I mean, the glow.
Yeah. Probably would have done it. It's leaning way out of the fireplace.
It really is.
Yeah. A little ominous. And then wouldn't you know it, Billy Griswold apologizes to Sister?
Which is fortunate since Papa did nothing to address that whole situation.
Yeah,
forgot about it entirely while he was wandering around his own house.
Brother Bear bends it like Beckham.
Yep.
Like it's literally what he learns to do, bending into the goal. Mama comes up with some new ideas for quilts and Papa just really, he... What does Papa do?
He tells them how he had really gotten into that new batch of curly maple in the wood shop. He really loves wood.
He loves wood.
Loves it.
We have never gotten this much information about Papa's feelings about wood.
Or really anything, you might say.
Right. As we have gotten in this book about how much he doesn't just like building things. He just loves wood.
Yeah,
he just, yeah, like you think he would hate to cut it just because he loves it so much, but he doesn't just love it. He's really gotten into it. This must be the feeling my family gets when I come to the table and I'm like, I've really started to get into this new show, and they're just like dying inside, like knowing they're gonna have to hear about it. Papa and his wood. Then we get some more world building as we discover that not only have the computers kept them from talking to each other, apparently it's kept them from doing all their big movie going.
They just didn't leave that. They forgot the outside world existed.
Exactly.
So I think it's lovely that when they remembered, they left their computer screen to go sit in front of another screen.
And their options at the multiplex are two incredibly problematic series and one not so problematic series.
Yeah.
Two film series whose references have aged somewhat poorly, and then one that's still awesome today. We have what are the movie series?
Pirates of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. Barry Potter, mm-hmm. or Spider Bear.
Pirates of the Caribbean, which I guess that means that their version of the Caribbean is called the Barabian. Barry Potter works. People named Bear, E. Barry.
I mean, Brother was literally named Small Bear.
Right. And Spider Bear is literally the best use of replacing person with bear, because he is Spider-Man. This is Spider Bear. He is not in the same colors as our universe's Spider-Bear, but that is okay. It seems he is still in their universe's equivalent of New York City.
And he's got random spiders crawling all over him. And he appears to be wearing shin guards, like Brother wears when he plays soccer.
Yeah, or I guess like those stirrup pants that they love.
Yes.
And yeah, because the next shot is them. They are at the stadium seating. It looks like IMAX screen.
Yeah, I mean, Bear Country is high tech. They got computers and IMAX.
Mm-hmm. And there it is. Spider-Bear it was. They go to see Spider-Bear. I guess maybe his origins are the same. I don't know if his Uncle Ben died. We don't know his backstory, but maybe one day we'll learn it.
Oh, I'm sure.
But the book ends with a list of eight rules for cubs about the internet, which, again, isn't what this book is about.
None of this happened.
Yeah. Don't give out personal information.
Well, I guess number eight is never do anything online that could hurt others. I guess the Billy Griswold sort of.
Yeah. But again, the Cubs weren't the Billy Griswolds in this situation.
True.
But yeah, don't give out your private information. If you see something that scares or worries you, talk to your parents. Don't get together with anyone you meet. Never send your picture out. Don't answer messages that make you feel weird. Ask your parents what the rules are. Don't give out your password, and don't do anything mean. Good rules.
Yeah, they're good rules. Not addressed in the story.
Yeah, not what we're dealing with. It should have been like Brother and Sister Bear's rules for computers. Like, don't ignore your family.
Right. Yes.
Don't listen to music and look at soccer cleats at the same time.
Don't order 5 packages in 1 week from eBay.
Right. Don't listen to what your mailman has to say.
That's very valuable advice. Yeah.
They're not going to tell you anything you want to hear, and it's going to insult your wife. And also, just don't bring a computer into your house.
Let alone 5 of them.
Yeah, you don't need them. You have your phone. Yeah. It's all
the
good.
The toddler especially probably doesn't need one.
Yeah, she does not need. She does not need a phone.
She's very
a computer.
You can tend to sit in front of your dangerous fire with a stack of rings. I mean, mm-hmm. Honey's like what? She's like 3. That's a very age inappropriate toy. This kid doesn't need a computer. She's good.
Yeah. She doesn't need the butterfly game. She needs. She needs her second rings. I swear, it is just a picture of a butterfly with a stick attached to it.
It's not even clear if it moves. The stick might just be for decoration.
Now, the cover, as you mentioned, is slightly different than what happens in the book. On the cover, Brother's about to buy himself a $90 pair of soccer shoes.
Now, I don't see. I'm not sure that he's going to buy it. He's just sort of leaning back
and
looking very satisfied at the fact that it exists.
He could be listening to a song about them.
It's true. There is music.
There's music coming out of his thing, and it says the Speedster, $89.99.
And they look like clown shoes.
They do.
And Mama, also, hang on. If we go back to where Brother is bending it like Beckham, they don't wear shoes. They never wear shoes. The Bears
Wait
don't
a minute,
wear
you're
shoes.
Right. They don't. They wear stirrups and shin guards and. They are famously unshod animals.
They are. So this, maybe that's the danger. Like, what is that weird thing he's looking at?
What are you looking at? Covering the feet in some way, son? What is this? You get some kind of weird internet ideas?
Mama looks like she has a headache.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's going like, oi, Gewalt. Like she's like, she's like putting her hand up to her head. She's like, ugh, these computers, what can you do?
It kind of looks like they just forgot to draw her in the cover, and then we're like, oh,
just
crap.
Gonna say that
because there's some weird hand. It looks like Papa has 3 hands.
It looks like he has both of his hands on his hips, and then I think Mama is supposed to be cupping her elbow. See, she's like
really like dramatically,
but she's you're right. She's crammed into the edge of the picture.
And she's kind of out of scale. It's very weird.
Yeah, she's taller than Papa, it seems, or he's just all hunched over. I think the Berenstains did not know how to draw Papa Bear being the concerned one.
Which, I mean, understandable.
The cover is weird. The cover is a drastically different art style than the interior art. This is still around the era when the covers, especially for the mainline books, were looking a little sketchy. Like, you can kind of see the sketch lines, like on Sister's Keyboard. But the interior art has much bolder lines. It's much more firm hand. I'm not sure who was illustrating this one. Some of the bears look weird, like strangely off model, like almost like when they would hire like other artists to do the coloring books and stuff. Like, it's very strange. I like the illustrations. I think they're fun. And it's a very colorful book. But thumbs up, thumbs down. What are your thoughts on the overall value of the Berenstain Bears computer trouble?
Well, if the overall goal of this book is to talk about actual internet safety, it does not accomplish the goal.
Okay.
And I feel like it raises more questions than it answers, honestly.
But if your goal is simply to talk about computer trouble.
Well, again, I would define computer trouble as like something's wrong with the motherboard. So, like I said, when I saw the title of the book, that's kind of what I thought it was. Like they didn't know how to use the computer. So I think it's not great would be my
assessment. Almost seems like it would make more sense if like only brother was obsessed with the computer.
It would make a lot more sense.
Like if it was one of the cubs and like, so then you could like focus on like Fred comes over and brother's like, I'll talk to him later. And the parents are like, yeah, he's just spending so much time on his computer. This was something that got addressed on Saturday morning television when I was a kid, except it was watching TV, ironically enough. Just the notion that if you spend all your time on a screen, your friends are going to eventually stop coming around because they just assume you're not going to play with them. Like to me, that's illustrated a little bit more, but instead they had to get every family member involved and it just kind of loses its focus.
Right. It would have been more realistic too for many reasons, including we wouldn't have been buying five computers and you sort of run out of like if you're not going to actually talk about creepy internet things like predators and stuff, you sort of run out of problematic behaviors for five people.
Yeah.
Like there's not a whole lot that they can be doing.
Or if so you find
brother's whole thing is just looking at shoes that bears don't wear.
Yeah. Maybe you find out at the end that brother was actually posing as Billy Griswold in order to insult sister. Maybe that's your end. Then it all ties together. But that is The Berenstain Bears, Computer Trouble from 2010. As you could tell from this episode, we both loved it very much. Big thumbs up. Go out and buy it right away. It's on sale at your local store. Completely relevant to 2022. Adults just
rules again. The rules are not bad.
Yeah, talk with your kids about internet rules if they're getting on the internet. Do it. Tell them not to go visit someone at a coffee shop.
Don't let your 8-year-old get on Facebook.
Yeah, don't let your 8-year-old go meet with strangers. And please for goodness sake, don't let your child on social media. Your little child doesn't belong on social media. They do not need to hear what politicians have to say about anything right now.
Very true.
So particularly this week. So Kate, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what it is you do on computers?
On computers. I write Monday through Friday. I write a newsletter about state politics. Mm-hmm. And it's fairly snarky because politicians are annoying.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
And where can
I
they
work
find
for
that?
A nonprofit called States Newsroom, and our whole goal is to increase coverage of state government, which newspapers really can't do anymore because newsrooms are shrinking. So we have newsrooms, and I've literally lost count. I want to say it's almost 30 states now. So I just kind of go through and pick the stories and identify a trend, and then I snark on it.
That's fascinating. I mean, and yeah, like local government is one of those things. State government, local government is one of those things that just not enough people pay attention to. And that's where a lot of the big decisions get made. So check that out. You can check me out at BerensteinBearcast.org, which is where this show is, or on Twitter at BSteinBearcast, or my personal Twitter is at P. Corey Gonzalez. You can listen to my other two shows, Pizza Toast, that I do with Christy Admiral and is currently on break. We'll be back someday. Or It's Del Toro Time, that I do with my daughter, Willow. We just covered, I think, Akira Kurosawa's Ron, I think, may have been the last one we did. And we're about to cover Terry Gilliam's Brazil. So if you're interested in movies and such, give us a listen. And Kate, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so glad you made the mistake of speaking loudly about the Berenstain Bears.
To be clear, I totally invited myself on this podcast, so thank you for having me.
It was very funny. You were like, you have to have me on as a guest. And I was like,
I have so many opinions.
And I was like, yeah, are you busy next week? And you could feel the fear across the country. As you're like, oh no. But yes, so this is not an invitation for everyone to start writing me and asking to be on this show. But maybe if you do, I'll let you on. So, Kate, have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. And
I don't have a usual... Oh, I do have an ending for the show. And for all the rest of you out there, I will see you all next time deep in bear country. That's how the show ends.
I figured.